Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version, so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water, just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker, and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
I don't know about spritzer, but this show has good flow. I like to think so. You know, we're in our 50s for now. And the hair is,
oh yeah,
the flow is just fine. I think
I've got the same head of hair that I had 25 years ago. I am barreling towards 60, looking like a man half my age.
hair wise,
not here to talk about the past.
I went to my cousin who cuts my hair on Tuesday, and for the first time in many years. I'm not even sure. I'm already regretting bringing this up.
Sweet.
For the first time in many years, I showed her a picture.
Of what you might like?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I mean, have you ever done that?
Wow. when I was 15, maybe.
I know.
Maybe. When I was, yeah.
I know. It's the New Year's resolution.
No.
I've got good clothes. I've got good shoes. I never wear anything anymore. They're all just in piles. It's pathetic. I mean, I wear a long sleeve shirt in here and I complain because I'm too hot. Like, it's a t-shirt today, squeezed into this thing, you know, just... So I thought it might be...
The picture. What was her reaction to the...
She loved it. She's family.
Right.
So she wasn't... Well, she could have given me a hard time because she's family. But no, she's like, we can do this.
Yeah.
So believe it or not...
And that's it?
I'm working...
that's it there? That's.
I said, picture this, but with headphones is what I want to look like.
Like, I should talk. I mean, I basically have my yearbook picture from like junior year is basically the haircut I've had for like the last 15 years. If I were to bring a picture to my barber, boy, oh, I can't even imagine. Oral Roberts, my barber. I cannot imagine.
By the way, don't.
That is really his name.
That is really his name.
I cannot imagine his reaction if I bought like my junior year yearbook photo. This is what I want to be like. This is what you're doing anyway.
Well, with that giant gray beard, like you're not going to get your junior year yearbook.
He makes
picture.
His money cutting the beard. I mean, that for me anyway. Like that's because the hair. Like I don't really. I just like do. Just takes them off. It's fine. But the beard takes TLC for him to get that right.
This is very rude of me to do in front of everybody. But I will show you if you just won't say who it is.
The picture?
Yeah.
But I can't say who a picture. Oh, my God.
I would like your reaction.
So it's a picture of somebody famous?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Wow. I cannot believe you did this.
Why?
I don't know. It's just such a move at your age.
I am screaming out for inspiration in life.
I want your age.
I just need
bold letters out there.
Some reason to try.
I know.
Right? So I saw this person on TV. And, you know, I said to my wife, could I pull that off? Could I,
mm-hmm.
I know she likes this person.
Yeah.
Could I pull this off? And she's like, no.
All right.
No, I don't think so.
Good move.
I said, but I'm younger than he is.
Just keeps getting better and better.
I'm younger than he is. And she's like, yeah, well, you know, you'd have to get skinnier and you'd have to, I don't know, some other things probably, she said.
Get a face transplant.
All right, here. Oh, come on. Really? You're laughing now? Okay. Well, never mind.
You don't have... hang on. Look at me.
I don't have the what? I've got the glasses.
Your face isn't narrow enough.
Okay.
You're not pointy enough. You got too wide a... You get too wide a template for that that haircut.
Back on the program.
It's not going to...
I have a big head.
I would never say you have a big head. Rob Ray has a big head. I have a big head. My oldest son, Owen, has a gigundous head. Your head is like, you know...
7 3/4.
Larger than average. You know, that's the same head size as me.
Okay. You know, it just occurred to me, we're starting a thing now where we're going to be on camera, and I showed you the picture, and G's in there, and the camera... You didn't get it? No? Okay. Because I put it like right here, right, and the camera is right at it. I got to get used to the fact that we're being watched now, but right. Not official yet. So,
right.
All right. Well, you know,
right.
Forget I brought it up.
Does this camera activity have anything to do with you thinking of like digging in deep on the haircut?
Maybe subconsciously a little bit, but I mean this very, very sincerely. I need something.
Yeah, because I did
give me a reason to try a little bit.
It's so with such regularity that you probably don't even notice anymore. But I do not wear my eyeglasses in here. And I told one of our bosses, we were talking about the G getting hired and the these cameras and what's coming. And I'm like, this is going to push me to get new glasses, because I do not like Again, you don't have a scorecard. I don't know why you would notice this. Whether we're at home or in here, when we're on StreamYard or whatever mm-hmm. we've been on, I would wear the glasses. Because I just don't like how my face looks without them on anymore. But I cannot see my computer screens or read any numbers. So I got to take them off to do anything that could come up during. So I just leave them off. But I'm going to want glasses on my face when we're on camera.
Well, we both know the person to go to.
So I got to go get some new glasses, because these are just, it's untenable.
We both know to go see Dawn.
Yeah.
Football Friday on WGR, playoff edition, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. All right. Feeling good?
I feel great. Yeah, I feel great.
Line is back up to 9.
I hadn't noticed that. Good, fine.
Picks are later. I'm at 1 underdog, maybe 2.
Okay.
What I've decided. 1 underdog, maybe 2.
All right, good to know.
I'm also going
to
keep that from everybody.
Wow, this is a very different... I don't know that I ever walk in here at for a show to start at 3 o'clock on a Friday and not have my picks done, but I haven't even looked at them because I'm just waiting to see what you do.
Yeah.
I can't. I feel like I need, because I'm 5 behind now. I had a terrible week. 1-4 last week. You went perfect. 5-0.
Yeah.
And so after, like, I was behind by a little all year, and I caught up and passed you, and I just gave it all back. Just like in the course of like a week and a half, I feel like I gave it all back. I left for vacation, I think, ahead of you, and came back, and I'm 5 back now.
Well, I don't always have mine done by Friday. I often don't. But this week with fantasy tournaments, I have been like studying these games, all 6 games all week. Like, I doesn't mean I'll be right. I don't think it gives me a better chance of being right. But you're trying to build these teams. Like the one tournament, you can't have more than one player from one team.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, well, if we pick McLaurin, then what do we do with Tampa? Are we expecting Washington to win? Is that Bucky Irving or is it Mike Evans? Oh, Marshawn Lattimore. Could it be McMillan? Like, I'm doing that all morning and night for every game all week.
All right.
Over preparation here. I'm over prepared for the picks. Then I did Andrew's
thing
today.
Well, you do have a void to fill. Because you don't have
clothes are in a pile, or the shoes and all of that. That's why.
I just mean all the time and attention and brain power you put into fantasy football week to week during the regular season, like that's all gone now, so you've got time on your hands.
This is really the last day. They do have tournaments like next week for the divisional round and on. I don't think I've ever played in those, but like this, today into tomorrow, early afternoon is really it. Trying to put those builds together. Josh Allen. So Josh Allen will be, if you care, the most popular quarterback pick. It's Josh Allen, and they play the first week, right? So you have to be mm-hmm. careful with the Chiefs and the Lions. They'll not play as many games, no matter what happens. as potentially, anyway, one of these, not no matter what happens. But anyway, Allen could play four games, which is good. And that's true of Jackson, too.
And didn't you tell me, that, was it last year or the year before, he had the highest score of any quarterback in this sort of thing, even though he only played two games?
I looked that up because I wanted to know for sure. Last year, in terms of fantasy points in the playoffs, all quarterbacks, he was second to Mahomes,
okay,
who played four games to Allen's two. But Allen had seven total touchdowns in the two games. So you can't really go wrong with him too often.
Right.
And Jackson is much the same. Jackson won't be as popular as Allen in that format because Jackson has Derrick Henry.
Touchdown and, eater.
And while James Cook and had 16 touchdowns.
Doesn't score as many rushing touchdowns anyway.
That's right. Allen had 12 this year, and Jackson had 5 or 6,
okay,
I think. And it's about 2-1 for their careers. I think it's 65-33.
All right.
This is what we're all doing now, right? Is comparing everything
Jackson and Josh Allen. Jackson and Allen, yeah. I think I have enjoyed, and this is not to imply that I'm ill-prepared to enjoy the discourse moving forward, but I've kind of not really understood people who, I don't know, around Thanksgiving, before the holiday, like, I'm just so tired of the MVP conversation. I don't even care if he wins anyway. I don't, like, okay, I mean, we all care about different things. It's fine, you know, you might be more team first. Like, I don't know, to me, it's a reflection on how good your team is, too. So I've been very interested in him getting it. I'd love to have him get, you know, that kind of recognition. But, like, at the same time, like, people, like, all along, I just, you know, stuff it. I don't want to hear it. And all fine, all now today with this all pro news, like, I don't know if I can take a month. It's a month now until they announce who actually wins the MVP.
Right before the Super Bowl.
I don't know. I don't know how often it'll be a talking point, but I think it might tilt me at this point. I don't know. I don't feel like we've done. It's always been just sort of reasonable when we talk about it, at least to my ears, and even people calling in about it. Like the online world, the Bills fans and Ravens fans, and it's so ridiculous at some point. Like, I don't know if I can take a month or a little less than a month of people explaining the difference in the word valuable and best. Or, you know, like
outstanding.
Like, Jackson statistically has had the best year. I think Allen did that to him last year, but Jackson won. You know, a lot of us assumed that the same thing could happen again. It's the same voting pool or similar enough voting pool. But this MVP, or excuse me, this all pro nod, you got to go back to the 80s for a quarterback to not have been the first team all pro quarterback to win the MVP.
2003,
really?
But it was a tie.
Oh, okay.
McNair
okay.
And Manning.
Because Elway in 87, I think, is what I saw, was the last guy to do it solo, anyway.
Okay.
So,
I also don't find it, and have never found it boring.
Right. But it might just get annoying.
I've also hated the point. Peter King made this point today. The word is valuable. How does it, I have to say it now, how does it make any sense when any sport, when voting for this award, you would penalize one candidate because their teammates aren't better? Or just not even penalize, reward perhaps. But if it's my performance versus yours in an individual context, the idea of valuable being such an operative word means, oh, well, you're actually better if your teammates are worse. So you're more valuable. Imagine either of these two teams functioning on the same level without their starting quarterbacks. With the Ravens, not this year, but in previous years, we've seen it. And it's a steep drop-off. But if you had a better backup, maybe it wouldn't be. And so that's bad on you because your backup... like. All that peripheral stuff, most of it at least, should not matter. It's about the individual performance. Of course, you're going to have different teammates and different coaches and different defenses. A lot of that makes it interesting to talk about. But stop with, well, if they wanted it to be called the most outstanding player, they would call it that. No. these awards go back decades, and valuable was always the word, and don't overthink it. It means outstanding. It means best. If it didn't, they would have that award too. Because that is just sort of a simple player of the game, player of every level of sports. I mean, why do we try so hard to just, oh no, the valuable. None of these teams hurts, right? I mean, oh, but Tanner McKee, Detroit, Kansas City, quintessentially, none of these teams would be as good. How do you even start to assess the difference in value with those guys?
Well, you opine. That's all you do, right? There's nothing scientific about it, but you look at 9 Pro Bowlers, 5 All Pro, or how many All Pros does Baltimore have? I don't even know.
I don't know. But, more than 0.
Right. So you've got a. It's not so much like I remove you from the picture. And of course, it all falls apart. And you remove any starting quarterback, and it all, unless maybe you're Cleveland and you strike gold with Joe Flacco for a few weeks or something. But like, you know, mostly your season's over. We all know this to be true. So I wouldn't put it in the context of removing the player from the team, because to me that's equal all around. But is it not easier if? You know, you got to trust the people doing the voting for the Pro Bowl and for the All-Pro and for all this other stuff. If you've got the best guys at more positions than I have, you have an advantage. You are going to have an easier time having the great year. Theoretically, anyway, because you've got more help. You've got more guys that can win their matchups week to week, and that's going to make your job easier. So that is where, to me, the teammates sort of come into it, and why the Pro Bowl voting was, you know, significant in that way, and that the Bills had 2, Ravens have 9. You're telling me Lamar's more valuable than Allen? I think that that's a point that you can make. Again, it's not scientific. Like, I'm not breaking down the tape and grading them like PFF or anything, but you've got 9 dudes who got recognized. I've got 2. Which guy had to work harder to put up their numbers?
There's so, you know, yes, basically. There's so much else, though, that's woven into that. How the play of the quarterback affects the play of the other guys. You know, like, is Flowers a Pro Bowler on a team where everybody eats? The Bills, I mean, they're always so proud and excited about how great it is that they don't have any egos on their team anymore. Like, nobody needs the ball. So, sorry, Zay Flowers, we can't give you 1,000 yards because we're not going to do it that way. What does that say about the play of the quarterback? Nothing. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit. If a guy's good, he's good. We'd have to question whether Derrick Henry is, you know, the guy's a legend. But, yes. Right, of course. Defense to coach scheme to, right? I mean, and it's endless. take Chase off Cincinnati. What's Burrow, right? Is he more valuable without Chase because there's a great player he doesn't get the benefits of having around? It just seems so backwards sometimes. I don't know. It isn't boring to me. It's interesting. It can get maddening.
Right.
It already is starting to for me here, but it is like most of the voters are the same. Many of the voters are the same.
I believe it's very similar, if not exactly the same pool of 50 people.
So how can Allen win now then?
Well, I think Allen can win if you've got voters who are literally looking at value,
what you said,
what I said at the outset here. Like, that's the argument, I think. And I could see a voter, I mean, I don't know any of these people, maybe I do and I just don't know it, that have these votes, but I could be such a person. I think objectively Lamar Jackson's had an incredible year. Him winning the MVP would not be outrageous at all, in my opinion. Neither would it be outrageous if Josh Allen won it. So I've got a vote in both of these things. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to recognize Jackson's statistical excellence. Obviously, he's vital to the team's success, but his stats are incredible this year. I'm going to give him the nod for first-team All-Pro. I'm going to vote Allen second-team All-Pro, and I'm going to give Allen the MVP. And everybody eats. Everybody gets a trophy. Let's all go to Cone King.
You're right. I could see it.
I could get there. I don't know that enough of these 50 people will do that. But that's to me isn't far fetched at all. It seems almost kind of theoretically totally acceptable to me.
Well, it's a little bit like the point that Allen is sort of due.
Right.
And Jackson, we both thought all year that he would never win.
And there is, right, and there is that. Like, I don't know how seriously the voting pool takes the three-time MVP winner, but when you first said that in the spring, I think, last year, like, Jackson winning a third is, like, legacy stuff. And there still isn't any playoff success, nor will there be before this vote is done. When does this vote get done? Like, they're not supposed to take playoffs into account, so I assume that means the voting's done before they play games starting tomorrow.
I would think so.
But I don't know that. I've never really dug into the machinations of how all this works. I think it's I sort of lost where I wanted to end up there. I'm not sure where I was going. I got distracted talking about the timing of the voting. I think it's
the playoff results won't bias.
Right. Him getting three and would voters hold that against him and sort of hold that back? I liked that point. I thought that was a key ingredient to Allen having a season that would be good enough to get him it, even if Jackson outperforms him, which he has. So I think that could still matter a lot. That voters just don't want to crown Jackson to that tier until, and that could be another reason to not want to do him dirty, so dirty that you ignore the year he's had by not giving him an All-Pro nod or the first team All-Pro. So, like, I can sleep at night. I recognize Jackson's excellence, but the most valuable player is this other guy. That's all. I'm just repeating myself. That's why I got stumped, because I didn't want to say the same thing, but really that's what I was going to do.
Plus, this doesn't exactly move him past Lamar Jackson in and of itself, but part of the idea here this year was just rein it in a little bit, you know, take what they're giving you, run the ball. You don't have Diggs anymore. You know, we don't want as many bad plays. Sacks came way down, interceptions, even fumbles, like all that stuff came down, which those stats can work against you when they're higher. But the upside isn't as high.
Right.
So, you know, they've had a number of games this year, including their last few, that were just like, you've got Allen after the game saying words to the effect of, we don't need to run everything. Just kind of
getting
easy peasy.
Just trying to get through it here.
They won the division in a romp.
Like a month and a half ago.
So you're not going to see you did. LA and Detroit, you did. But at least in theory, you shouldn't see as many, like, pinball sort of stat lines. When has the show ever sounded older than pinball? Anyway, that's that. We will talk to Sam Panayotovich. He's fired up.
I'll bet.
That'll be next. BetQL. Sal joins us at 4 to talk Denver, the playoffs, and the All-Pro stuff. What might the Bills be doing with it? Is it going to be a big rallying cry within the team? Are they above that? Should they not be? We'll do some of that with Sal as well. And all day be talking all about Wild Card Weekend. Right now, it's time for a break. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
There's Barker. As long as 49. Aller hit as he throws! And it is intercepted! Christian Gray picks it off!
Notre Dame over Penn State. Did you see that play?
Did not.
It was great.
Yeah. I saw it in a highlight package. I was not watching. I'm very sorry to tell our guest, Sam Panayotovich, that I fell asleep.
Oh.
After Notre Dame went up 17-10. I think that was early fourth quarter?
Third, yeah.
Third, okay. And that it was just too easy to close my eyes. But fun, had to be a fun game. I mean, 10-0 for Penn State, 17 straight for Notre Dame, and then 14 more straight for Penn State, and then 10 straight for Notre Dame to close it out.
It was
like a basketball game of runs.
It was a great game. Samuel P., the host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports, BetQL Insider, Sam Panayotovich, I can prove to you, did not fall asleep during this game.
Well, I've got a time stamp. His text, yes.
Irish Sam. Congrats, Sam.
I was going to apologize to you guys for texting you videos of myself at 11:30 at night. I'm like, I woke up this morning, I'm like, did I really text those grown men videos of me doing a shot? Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Irish whiskey?
Totally fine, dude. Yeah. I don't have my phone next to the bed, so it never wakes me up. So no big deal.
I've been tailing you these last 2 weeks, so I'm enjoying this too. Not on the same, you know, as fewer units. But this is really fun. This is why we run all those laps, Sam, for the occasional or even more than occasional big win.
Yeah, and now what we can do, if anybody did jump in at 10-1, you have some options here. Like, I've thought about it. I spent probably 3 hours today thinking about what I'm going to do and putting the math out and everything. You know, the common answer that I'm getting from people that I respect is, well, now you just bet Ohio State to win the whole thing. So let's say you have 10 units, let's call it a 10-unit pot, right? You take a couple of units out of that and bet that on Ohio State minus 140. I'm warming to that idea, but I also, like, everybody I talk to likes Ohio State. That's also alarming.
Yeah,
you know? Like,
yeah.
I was looking at this pick tracking site. It's called Picket, and people are able to basically create an account and bet fake money to track their bets. There are $3 million in bets on Ohio State and Texas, and 90% of the bets are on Ohio State money line. 82% of the bets are on Ohio State spread. Is everybody seeing it right, or is everybody seeing it wrong? I can't figure that out yet.
I don't know, but I do want to say why it's minus 140, in case people don't know, is they have two games left to win. Ohio State has to win tonight against Texas, and then would have to beat Notre Dame in the finals. I don't know enough about these teams, Sam. I couldn't tell you. But Ohio State has been the favorite here, and the look ahead, I think, is like 9, isn't it? If they win tonight over Notre Dame?
Yeah, which feels a little high. I mean, that's only up at one place. When Vegas starts opening up and offshore opens up, that'll probably come down a bit. There's going to be a lot of public money on Notre Dame in the championship. And the look ahead, I think, was Texas 3 on Notre Dame. So we'll see what happens. I mean, if Texas comes out and wins by 2 touchdowns tonight, then it's a much different number. So
yep.
Numbers are numbers, and then everybody plays the game, and it all comes out in the wash. Unless you're Drew Aller, who was awful last night, by the way. Awful guy
at
quarterback.
Passing games all around here. Like that's what I wonder about Texas and Ohio State is, like, can Notre Dame handle either of those teams in the air?
Notre Dame is also Bulldog down a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And they lost another offensive lineman yesterday. I think it was the left tackle. They lost another defensive lineman. They're on another receiver out. It's a great story, man. And Freeman's done a hell of a job. And I read a story this morning about how they've dominated the middle eight the last 4 minutes of the second quarter and the first 4 minutes of the third quarter. They're like a plus 100 point differential in that middle eight all season. It's insane.
Without really studying them, I mean, I know we talked about them last week, obviously, after they beat Georgia. I would want to give them credit for whatever adjusting gets done there, because they looked like they were just going to have a terrible day moving the ball. And the second half, like, right away, they just came out and down the field, and here we go. I mean, I guess all it takes is one passing play to kind of unlock it, and they hit the 36-yarder there eventually to Williams to get him going on that first touchdown drive. But I feel like they've made a lot out of changing up maybe what they're doing once they get a look at what the opponent's doing to them.
They have really, really good players. The players are better there now than they were under Brian Kelly, who ironically enough left Notre Dame to compete for a national championship at LSU.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. But like I said, they kicked the field goal going into half, and then before Penn State touches the ball again, they get the touchdown. So they get 10 unanswered points because they win that middle eight again. I do have my concerns, though. I mean, Ohio State and Texas both have NFL receivers, multiple NFL receivers.
Right.
Ohio State's got 3 of them. Texas has 2 of them, if not maybe more down the page. But Ohio State has 3 bona fide NFL receivers. They're good. They're very, very good.
Well, we have next week for this, too, because the game isn't until the 20th, right? Week from Monday. Let's get to the pros, Sam. So Bills Broncos, it's at 9 as I look now. It's been around that all week. Who do you like?
First bet I made this week was Bo Nix to throw a pick, minus 140. I think it's happening at some point in this game, if not multiple times in this game. I never like these rookie quarterbacks going on the road and facing elite teams. And you guys are one of the elite teams in football. Power rating-wise, it's the Ravens, the Bills, and the Lions. You guys are right there. So I think the Denver story is great. Nix looks like he has a good future there, and he could play good football there for a long time. But I'm not putting my money on a rookie quarterback going into Buffalo and really doing much of anything. So I did bet Nix to throw a pick, and I also did lay 8.5. How do we feel about it? How do you guys feel?
I feel great about it. I think the things that Denver is really good at, getting to the quarterback, locking down other teams' number one receivers, I feel like the Bills, A, don't have a number one receiver. So Surtain still can take someone away and leave you your other 10 guys to defend, and that's great. But I feel like it just sort of takes a little bit out of a superpower of having that lockdown dude. And the Bills' offensive line has been excellent. Allen's been sacked 14 times all year. So it would really surprise me. The thing that would shake me up the most when this game starts is if the Broncos are winning getting to Allen. Like even if they're just making him escape regularly, which, you know, of course he can still win doing that. But I feel like the Bills should be able to handle what Denver wants to throw at them. They play a lot of man. Allen eats up man. They like to blitz. Allen eats up the blitz. I mean, I just don't think having a defense that is good at those things is good when you're playing normal people. But you're playing Allen, I think you're asking for trouble if you're going to play man and blitz him.
You'll love this bet, because you love bets like this. I put a little bit down on Josh Allen to lead the weekend in rushing at 80-1.
Yeah, saw that.
So I dare them to make him a runner. Like, please do it. Yeah. And he goes for 90 and somehow finds a way to lead the league or lead the weekend. So I did bet Allen at 80 and Lamar at 50. We'll see what happens. Small bets.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit less optimistic than Bulldog is for the Bills here. I feel like with Nix, and you know, you might be right, but the Bills' defense has been a little bit soft, and I feel like one of the stories of the season is the older young quarterbacks, if you will, like Nix and Daniels, and even maybe Penix, although that was brief, looked like just ready for it. And this is a guy who's played in some big games, just not on the pro level, or, you know, in the postseason anyway, Bo Nix. So normal weather, I kind of feel like he might be all right. Just throwing the ball short like he does and staying away from the turnover. The point you made, that's always the thing, right? Turnovers, like the Bills are plus 24 for the season, which is insane. And if they keep that up, they'll be very tough to beat. But I'm not sure. I go back and forth on it. I don't hate the idea of taking 9 points.
So the only good thing that I think is in my favor is that you guys do have the ability to put teams away. You know, 31-10, 47-10. I'm looking at some of these final scores. 34-10, 35-10, 40-14. I don't care who the opponent is. You know, a lot of teams don't have that drive to knock you out and leave you on the mat. They do. So if they get up early, I think it could be a long game. But that's my narrative, and you know, if Bo Nix comes out and throws 4 touchdowns, I will look like a lunatic. But that's why we do what we do.
Right. How about the game, the big AFC game Saturday night? If we have time, we can get to Chargers Texans. But I don't really care. Pittsburgh Baltimore. That's a big spread too. Those are division rivals. Often tight. Pittsburgh's had the better of it by kind of a lot lately on Baltimore. But you know, the Ravens are the Ravens. What do you think here? How likely is an upset there?
I love that you glossed over the annual 4:30 p.m. Saturday Texans game that we see every season in Wild Card Weekend.
Right.
Look, this is a big number, but it's right. Wilson's been pretty bad. The metrics are not good on him. Their defense took a step back this year. T.J. Watt, who has been awesome for a long time, let's not get it twisted, but this year is not an elite T.J. Watt year, which sort of runs downhill in Pittsburgh. You know, These meetings, you're going to hear this a lot, I'm sure. Oh, these are always close games. And there's a lot of truth to that, but it was also 34-17 last month, and Baltimore ran away with it. That number closed 7.5, and now you're almost 10. Well, you are 10 at a couple books. There's going to be Steelers money because people like to bet on what they've bet on in the past, and Tomlin's been a profitable dog, and yada, 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 yada. But this Ravens team, I was talking to a guy in Vegas today. He says if the Ravens and Chiefs meet in the AFC Championship in Arrowhead, they would have the Ravens favored. So that's how much the respect is in Vegas and for these respected bettors that are not only, you know, laying 8.5, 9, but laying it up to 10. Like, they're still cool laying anything under 10.
Props-wise, you mentioned the Allen rushing one. That's a fun one. I decided to bet Amari Cooper to score twice because I can't believe his over-under for catches is 2.5. You know, let's just blow that up. And, by the way, under is minus 185 or something like that. We talked with Joe yesterday about that. I don't know. Just, he hasn't had that much production yet, but come on. It's the playoffs. This is why they did it. This game or another one, do you have a couple of these that you're into?
So I did take a look at this Saquon Barkley catches prop, which is going to be very, very expensive, I think, by Sunday. So you might want to bet this one now. It's over 1.5 catches. I mean, they're already blitzing it, man. It's already up to 200 at MGM. I texted you yesterday, right? And it was minus 150. It's getting destroyed. Minus 170, minus 180, minus 190. Like, it's run. But that's the theory, that they've been feeding Barkley on the ground to get him to break the record. And they've, like, kind of gotten away from what makes him in the short passing game, the dumps and the runs. He's going to catch two passes. I guess the question is how many dollars do you want to lay? How much juice do you want to lay on that? It's going to happen. And a lot like Derrick Henry last week. You knew he was going to score a touchdown. He got Harry at the end, but then he scores two. You know, laying juice is not a problem for me. I don't mind laying 160, 170 on something to happen for a very good player. So Barkley two catches plus is probably a winner, guys.
Did you have Evans last week?
No, they bet that thing up from 92 to 103 on the yardage. And one of my buddies back in Chicago texted me like Sunday morning, 10 minutes until kick. He's like, "Hey, I like Mike Evans over." I'm like, "Oh God, no, don't bet it now. It's already moved 10 yards. He didn't hit any of the numbers, right? No. Didn't it land 85?
Yeah, I think so. Or 88 or something, just a couple yards over 85.
Right, just to get like 1,003, 1,005, something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what do you do this weekend, Sam? Are you just sort of camped out? Are we back at the bar? What are we doing here?
I don't know. I was out late last night. I got home at 1 o'clock, a little too late for me. Okay. But I'll probably hang low, and then we'll see what happens Sunday. I'm not coming to Buffalo, though. That much I know.
You've ruled that out. Officially out. Ruled out for Sunday at Highmark Stadium. Sam, congrats on Notre Dame's win. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys. See you.
Sam Panayotovich from BetQL, Odyssey Sports Insider. Calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Chance for you to get your thoughts in on Sunday's game, 803-0550, Sal at 4. Then after that, it's Jeff Legwald, ESPN reporter on the Broncos at 5:30, former co-worker of mine in Rochester at the Democrat and Chronicle. And then we'll have our picks for Wildcard Weekend at 6. Thanks for listening. Football Friday continues here on WGR. Welcome back. Football Friday continues. Sal Capaccio joins us, Mike Shope, and the Bulldog in about 12 minutes. Bulldog is rubbing off on me after all these years, as today I got gas with like 7% of my tank full.
That's bold.
I didn't wait.
That's bold for you.
I decided not to wait. Just like you said, I had a little bit extra time between home and here.
Right.
And that's how I spent it. And I also thought about the fact that it wasn't like there wasn't sleet.
Right. It's not windy. Today, this morning, when I let the dog out back and went out back with him, I stood there and thought, like, this is the kind of day. I don't know. Maybe I'm a wacko. I really miss being able to run on a morning like that. Like, no wind, crisp. If there were light snow falling, even better. I used to love going to the park on those days. Just loved it. Put on a couple layers, just go. Oh, man, it was the best. But yeah, I can't run anymore.
That's sad to hear.
Yeah, it is. Sorry, I didn't mean to. I'm kind of over it. But it, like, today's the first day in a while that I really felt that. Like, oh man, I wish I could do that. There's no real biking on a day like that. I mean, I guess you could. People do it, I suppose. But I'm not that crazy. It's too cold.
Playoffs are about here, and with that, different overtime rules. Don't forget.
Oh, sure.
So you look smart at your party. Tomorrow, Sunday, Monday night. Each team gets the ball.
No matter what.
No matter what. Well, almost.
Okay. Go on.
If I get the ball to start overtime and it's a safety, that's the end of the game.
Sure. You get a pick six on me.
Yes.
That's also the end. You know.
It's the end of the game.
I had the ball. You took it from me and scored. Game over.
I don't have to take the ball and then kneel it out or anything like that.
Right.
That's the end of the game. So a defensive score.
Right.
Otherwise, unlike in the regular season where only a touchdown on the first possession ends the game, this way, from 13 seconds, want it to be fair, each team will get one possession. And, of course, no time limit.
Right. Yeah. They're going to play until somebody wins. There's no ties in the playoffs. That would be tough.
Just talking with Sam Panayotovich, that would be tough. Bills are up to been about all week, a 9-point favorite. The biggest favorite they've ever been in the playoffs was that Miami game here 2 years ago when Tua was hurt. Skylar Thompson, the Bills were 13.5-point favorites. They've been favored by double digits, and this could still get there, four times, including last year's Pittsburgh game as well. The biggest underdog the Bills have ever been in a postseason game, what is it? The number's 10.5. I will tell you that the drought-ending Jacksonville game is second. I think it was 8. Bills were getting 8 and covered.
Wow.
10-3. How do you like that Jacksonville gave 8 in a playoff game to the Bills?
What was the number again? Did you say it?
10.5 is the record.
All
postseason Bills games are accounted for here, including the games in the 60s.
Okay. Is this a game that I was alive for?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh in after the comeback game because Kelly's still hurt. Reich is playing. I don't love that guess, but that's the first. I want to move the show along, so that's my guess.
The Bills were 2-point underdogs that day. Steelers were not great.
Yeah.
Like it was that was a one seed, but O'Donnell.
Yeah.
The game in '95 in Pittsburgh. Was closer to the right answer. They were a 6-point underdog.
Bruce Smith flu game.
Yeah, I guess. The answer is Super Bowl 28. Dallas 2.
Wow.
Dallas 2. The Cowboys were 10.5-point favorites. They were 6.5-point favorites in the previous Super Bowl. And I loved the Bills in that game. Like, oh, what am I, 20? Years old.
52-17, that
yes.
one?
Yes.
Not the last one, the third one?
Yeah. No, I loved it. You can't lose 3 in a row. What does Dallas know about how to do this?
Well, using that same, apparently, clearly now, not even apparently, flawed logic, I loved them in the fourth one, in
you
28.
Did?
Yeah. You're not losing 4 in a row of these things.
I didn't because I said the same thing the year before. I guess you can't.
Yeah, see, I didn't get to that in the third year.
Anytime that this is not applicable here this week, but anytime the Bills have been 3.5-point underdogs or more, which is like a dozen or more games, they only covered the Jacksonville game 10-3, the 65 AFL title game, and that Ron Smith game in San Diego was a push. I guess they were getting 6 there. This is all at Stathead. Sal Capaccio after sports. It is Football Friday here. Bills and Broncos Sunday at 1 on WGR.